Please take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel 17. After that song, sorry I don't have a Christmas message tonight. Although I guess David, Jesus Christ, was the son of David, some connection there. But tonight this is more of a New Year's message, thinking of the new year coming up. I know Pastor preached out of this passage maybe 2 months. Maybe you already forgot that already. I'm not sure. So, but anyways, we're going to be looking at the subject of victory tonight. I think all of us want to be, I would think, you would want to be victorious in your Christian life if you're a believer tonight. But I think sometimes we miss out on what really is required if we're going to see that victory. You know, as we approach a new year, reflect on this year. Maybe you think about your Christian life and you see maybe some of the failures that have taken place. And you really maybe desire to have victory in that area. You know, maybe there's ground that you want to conquer for the Lord this year. How is that going to take place? You know, God wants us to have victory. And that victory, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You know, God doesn't want us to live defeated. I think some principles here that help us to see that victory accomplished in our lives. And I'm not going to read through the story. We'll kind of look at some of the verses as we go along. But the first point I'd like us to see tonight is that victory requires preparation. 1 Samuel 17, I'd like us to begin in verse number 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him." Now notice, here we see that Saul recognized that preparation was necessary for victory. He says, "For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Verse 34, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." Here maybe David's going to defend his own preparation that he had. "And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." So Saul here recognized the importance of preparation. But the problem is, Saul's preparation was a different type of preparation. Paul was looking at secular preparation. And David was missing that secular preparation, maybe that Goliath had in this battle. David was but a youth, but Saul was a man of war from his youth. Saul had so much more preparation. I mean, Goliath had so much more preparation. You know, really, if Saul was thinking this way, then who should have gone out and fought? You know, why didn't Saul go out? He had preparation. And yet he wasn't willing to do that. But there was preparation, and David had the right kind of preparation for this battle. And what was needed was spiritual preparation, and that's what was lacking in the life of Saul and why he wasn't willing to go and fight against the giant. You know, preparation is important. And we see some of this preparation in the life of David. If you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 13, as Saul had failed to obey God, we find that there was something spiritual that was taking place in the life of David. In verse number 14, 1 Samuel 13:14 says, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Part of David's spiritual preparation was his obedience. It says, you know, he's seeking a man after his own heart. Why? Because thou, Saul, hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. God was looking for somebody that would obey him. You know, that's pretty simple preparation. Obedience. You know, and Saul, David entered the battlefield and he's like, something's got to be done. You know, he didn't think about the consequences, so to speak. He thought of the fact that there was something that needed to be accomplished. And he was somebody who God saw as one who was willing to obey. You know, God sought him a man after his own heart. It has to do with the fact that David was somebody who was obedient. Look at Acts chapter 13. You know, if you want to accomplish something for God, if any one of, if myself, if I want to accomplish something for God, what do we have to do? We have to get used to obeying. That's the spiritual preparation that's needed to have victory in our lives. There's going to be a battle that's going to be faced in our lives, but we're not going to be able to step forward and do what God wants us to do because we haven't been prepared by simply obeying. Notice verse 22, it says, "And when he had removed him, that Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." All right, here is somebody that God sought after, and he found the person who would accomplish his will. Now, we know that David had serious errors. David had some serious faults in his life. But he was someone who had a commitment to obeying God. You know, do you see that spiritual preparation in your life? You know, you want next year to be a year of victory. Start obeying. Start obeying. Because you know what's going to happen is God's going to put that battle in front of you. And when you have the heart to obey God, guess what? The choice is going to be easy. And you're not going to look at all the circumstances like we're going to see the people around David looked at. But David had been spiritually prepared by having a heart of obedience. You know, David was one who was used to the small things. You know, if you're going to be faithful over a few things, you're going to be what? Faithful over much. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. You know, but if we go back to 1 Samuel 17, we also see just some preparation of his character. We see just some different things in this passage that just give us some insight into his character. His dad gave him a responsibility. Obviously, his dad recognized he could trust him. And notice what he does. Verse number 20. "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper." He had a responsibility. He had a job. You know, he didn't wait. He didn't, it's my first week off of school. I know most people are going to want to sleep in tomorrow, and don't blame you. All right, but there was something he needed to do. And you know, when you're given a responsibility, when you're given a job, do you wait or do you say, you know what, this has to be done? And you recognize the weight of it. And we can see that his character, the preparation of his character, just in how he responded. He rose up early in the morning, we see his responsibility and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went. There we see his obedience as Jesse had commanded him. All right, so we see his responsibility. We see his obedience. He was willing to prepare himself. And we're going to see maybe some more things about his character later on. But preparation. You know, many of you, maybe many out, in the, maybe you're an adult tonight, and you say, boy, I really would like to play the piano well. I mean, you look at somebody up there playing the piano, but boy, would that be nice to do. Or maybe it's somebody playing an instrument. Maybe you're a young person, you know, tonight, and you saw, you know, the violins playing. You say, boy, I'd really like to be able to do that. You know, many of us, maybe we want to do something well, but we don't want to what? Practice. We don't want to put the preparation into being able to do that. You know, young person, you have a lot of time on your hands. Yes, there's homework. Yes, there's school. But you have a lot of time on your hands. You know, are you preparing for what God has for you? You know, we want to reap, but we don't want to sow. You know, maybe we want to sow, but we don't want to prepare the ground so that we can sow. We want to win souls, but we don't want to sow in tears. We want to have revival, but we don't want to break up the fallow ground. There's so many things in life that we want, but we're not willing to put in the preparation to see it take place. You know, David didn't come to the battlefield and all of a sudden, Goliath's coming down. There was what? There was preparation. There were decisions, in other words, that were made in his life ahead of time that made him ready to step on the battlefield to hear what Goliath was saying and say, this cannot be. There were decisions in his life. You know, young person, if you were to step on that battlefield today, would you cower in fear like the rest of the people did? Or would you be that David? You know, don't kid yourself. If you're not making the decisions, preparation decisions right now, you probably wouldn't make the decision that David did. Remember, there's only one person out of the entire nation of Israel that had been spiritually prepared to make that decision. Are we going to be spiritually prepared for victory? You know, there's going to be battles in your life. But if we will prepare ourselves spiritually, you know, thinking of preparing ourselves in the Word of God, of if we could commit ourselves to the preparation, the victory, we'll see the victory if we're willing to prepare for it, spiritually be prepared. So we see this preparation that took place in the life of David. Secondly, I'd like us to see that victory requires purpose. Notice what he says, David says in verse number 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this circumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this Philistine? There was a purpose that David was living for. We see it in verse number 46. Verse number 46. He says, as he's speaking to Goliath, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And notice his purpose, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. You know, is that our purpose tonight, that all the earth may know that there is a God? Amen. You know, do we want Mequonago to know that there is a God? And you know what? That's the same purpose that we ought to have today. David didn't cower in fear like everyone else because he had a purpose. He wanted God's name to be known. He heard Goliath defaming the name of God and he said, this can't be. It didn't matter the odds. It didn't matter the consequences. There was a purpose that drove his actions. And when there, our purpose is great, we're going to be willing to step out in faith and see the victory won. But so many times we cower in fear because we really don't have the right purpose in our lives. You know, there was a day
that David lost maybe some of this purpose. You know, think of 2 Samuel chapter 11. You know, when kings go out to war, and what was David doing? He was sitting at home, and he fell prey, what, to the temptation with Bathsheba. He lost his purpose, and he opened up to temptation. But you know, notice what takes place when you have purpose. When you have purpose and you're going to live by that purpose, you're going to be attacked. Your motives are going to be attacked. What did David's brother say? And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Now, David was responsible, wasn't he? He didn't lack responsibility in that matter. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. Now, we know the story. Did David have pride here? No. Was there wickedness in his heart? No. David had pure motives. God's name was at stake. You know, but if you're going to stand up, if you're going to have that purpose, you're going to have to be willing to face the attacks of others. Because they're going to come. And don't worry about it. Your purpose is greater than what other people are thinking about you. You know, thankfully, you know, Joseph realized the purpose that he had. You know, Christ, you know, he didn't worry maybe about the accusations that might be thrown at him. But he was willing to fulfill the plan of God. Do you have that purpose that drives your actions? Is your purpose greater than your circumstances? Notice what the people around him did. Back up in the passage, in verse number 23, and as he, David, talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. They fled. They were so afraid. They didn't have this purpose in their life. They hadn't been spiritually prepared. What purpose drives you in your life this evening? The reason we fear, the reason we cower, is because we have the wrong purpose. But when our lives is about defending the name of God, when we recognize the living God that we serve, fear is set aside. And the Bible says, you know, we can have that boldness as we live rightly before Him. So victory requires purpose. Thirdly, I like us to see that victory requires a plan. Now, I'm not saying that every time, boy, if we're going to have victory in our lives, we have to have this worked out plan. But I'd like us to see, you know, David didn't just all of a sudden Goliath came out here and he ran out there and said, I'm going to fight him. All right, there was a plan. First of all, there was a proven plan. Verse number 39. You know, Saul had his idea of what maybe David needed. Verse 39, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. All right, these things had not been proven. They had not been tested. These were not things that David had used in the past and saw victory happen. All right, and so he went back to what, and he, verse number 40, he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Yes, God provided the victory over Goliath. But do you think that David chose the stones that he chose on purpose? Or do you think he went to that brook and just grabbed anything that was there? Well, obviously he chose 5 smooth stones. What if he would have grabbed some big jagged ones, you know, and put them in the sling? You know, they would have flown who knows where. No, Now, God was behind what David was doing, but he chose five smooth stones. You know, why did he choose five smooth stones? Something, well, maybe, you know, Goliath's brothers. Well, the other thing is, that could be part of it. It also could be that he was going to be prepared. You know, we go into something, are we just going to take the minimal, or are we going to take the maximum with us? You know, somebody that goes out into war, are they going to put one bullet in their gun? But there was a plan. He chose five smooth stones. You know, when we are fighting a spiritual battle, you think of Christ when he faced a temptation with Satan. You know, he chose specific verses that went right against what Satan was throwing at him. You know, are you choosing smooth stones? Are you choosing, is your plan in the spiritual battle that you're in, do you have a plan to defeat the temptation of Satan? You know, I like it when Dr. Jim Van Gelderen was here a while ago, and I think I've heard it since then, but, you know, I think they had like a packet of verses to give young people to memorize that had to go along with the temptations that they were facing. Why? You've got to choose smooth stones. You've got to have those verses memorized so you have something to go against the problems that you're facing. You know, don't just go out there and you're going to, you know, hold your Bible up and, you know, open it up and whatever verse that it comes to, and hopefully it doesn't land in the concordance. But, you know, or the definition section in the back, but we've got to use what God has given us. And we need to use it appropriately. We need to use the sword of the Spirit in the way that God intended to it. You know, there was a plan. He chose the smooth stones. Do you have a plan for personal victory? Are there some areas that you're struggling with? You say, you know what, I'm struggling with, you know, my thought life. Well, what are you going to do about it? You know, are you going to maybe memorize 2 Corinthians 10:5? You know, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Are you going to fill your mind with pure things? You know, we need to have a plan. You know, I'm not just saying we just developed some, but we need to get the Word of God. We need to choose what will fit the situation that we're going through. And David chose the stones that could be used in a fitting way to kill Goliath. And obviously God was the one that wrought the victory, but he chose the stones. Fourthly, I'd like us to see that victory requires passion. As we look at David, we can see that there was some passion in what he did. First of all, verse number 20. We're just going to run through a couple of verses here, and then we're going to look at some other people in some of David's mighty men. 1 Samuel 17, verse 20. David rose up early in the morning. He comes, notice the end of the verse, and he came to the trench as the host is going forth to fight, and he shouted for the battle. We see his passion. Verse number 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army. All right, we see him running in verse number 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David, again, wasn't shaking in fear. What's going to happen here? I mean, most of us, I mean, we have to stand up maybe and give a speech, or stand up and do something, maybe apologize, and, you know, we're afraid. Well, David had passion. And again, I think that passion was backed by the purpose that he had of God's name being defamed, and he couldn't stand to see that taking place. You know, we live in such a wicked world, and it's so easy to just kind of stand back and not want to make any waves, not want to say anything, but we're not thinking about the purpose that we have to uphold the name of God. You know, David here had passion because he had the right purpose. You think of the Apostle Paul. He said, I have fought a good fight. There was passion. He agonized in the battle that he was facing. Notice what David said in verse number 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight. Notice the decisiveness here, that passion that he had in his decision-making process. You know, young person, are you a person of decision? Remember, Paul Schwenke, at one of the messages that he preached here, was actually, he might have done it in Sunday school, but it was M&M's or Skittles, Three Musketeers, or Snickers, I think it was. M&M's or Skittles, Three Musketeers, or Snickers. And he started off his whole message. You could probably see him kind of pacing back and forth, you know, wiping his head. But he talked about his daughter in the gas station trying to figure out what to buy. M&M's or Skittles, Three Musketeers, or Snickers. Had a hard time making that decision. You know, we can be indecisive. The Bible talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But David had decisiveness here. He had passion. Do we have that same decisiveness? And as we go into the new year, we just need to be decisive about some things. Amen. And stop kind of pandering, what are we going to do? We need to realize that we need to go forward and do what God has for us. There was passion. If we go over to 2 Samuel, and as you look at some of David's mighty men, right, these were people that had passion. These were people that had courage. 2 Samuel 23 and verse number 8 says, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. Notice what some of these men did. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chiefest among the captains, the same was Adino the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Verse 10, he arose and smote the Philistines, another man, until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. Notice this man. I mean, he wasn't going to stop. And he had done it so long that his hand, you know, have you ever done something so long that you almost have to like pull your fingers off because you've done it so much? Right? There was passion in what they were doing. They weren't just giver uppers. They weren't just going to quit. Verse number 12. Here's a person, the field of lentils. Verse 12. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. Notice what the other people, and the verse, well, we got to read verse 11, the end of the verse. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Again, there had to be somebody that was willing to stand up, that had some passion, that had some courage. That wasn't going to let everything, he could have just fled away with everybody else. But he stood. You know, God doesn't need great numbers. But he needs somebody that's willing to stand. Amen. You know, Gideon, God didn't want all the people. He wanted a small number so that he could get the glory. You know, are you going to be that person that's willing to have that passion, that courage, that's willing to stand? You know, how are you going to get that passion? You know, Lamentations, it talked about that he lamented, mine eye affecteth my heart. You know, you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, he lifted up his eyes and looked on the fields. All right, he was moved with compassion. You know, what are we looking at? Do we see the needs around us? Unfortunately, we become too much like the church of Laodicea, who became comfortable in all that they had and became lukewarm. You know, sometimes God has to stir us up to get out of our comfort zone. You know, I think in some ways the last 4 years we were encouraged, we saw things happening, but, you know, it's so easy to start that comfort zone. And God wants us to get passionate about Him. David heard what the Philistines said, and it drove him into action. Are your ears open? Are your eyes open?
Sometimes sin can desensitize us. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 26, it talked about how the man, you know, goes after this woman. He's brought to a woman to bread. There's nothing left. You know, passions. We're going to take away that drive to serve God. We're going to nothing. Young person, don't allow sin into your life and to steal that passion to serve God. Then the last point we're going to look at tonight, just to review a little bit before we get there, requires preparation, requires purpose, requires a plan, requires passion. Fifthly, I'd like you to see victory requires power. You know, there was a plan. David had passion. David had preparation. But nothing would have been accomplished without the power of God. Amen. And this is something that David recognized. Let's begin in verse number 36. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Wasn't about, you know, he hurt David. He hurt David's ego. David didn't like what he said. This was about what this man said in front of God. You know, and that's what we have to get behind. You know, we get arguments, we get problems in our families, and it's usually because, you know, this ego was placed against this ego. But here, David had it all in the right position. Goliath was speaking against God. And as we skip down to verse number 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, with a shield. When you think of the great disdain that Goliath had for David. But David had courage. And why was that? He says, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You know, tonight, if you're a believer, what did Christ promise? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have that promise. God's presence. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse number 4, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And we know the verse in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. You know, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, victory requires. And David came not in his own name. He came not in his own abilities. He didn't come with his own preparation. It was God who had prepared him. And he didn't come in his own name. He came in the name of the God of the armies of Israel. He came in the name of Jehovah against this man who had defied him. You know, tonight, where's our power coming from? You know, it's probably we're trying to draw from our own strength because we're trying to draw from our own purpose. You know, if we would change our lives, living for the glory of God, we could start to draw from the power that comes by living for the name of God. But when we lose sight of that purpose, we're going to lose sight of the power that's available. Victory requires power. But if we're going to have that power, I think it's so important that we get back to that same purpose. You know, young person tonight, don't bypass the preparation. God's trying to do something. You have opportunities to prepare your life, The devil wants you to set it aside. He wants you to waste these years. And someday, you're going to stand there wishing, why didn't I take the opportunity that was given me? You know, some of you have music teachers. You have school teachers. You have parents. You have other people, Sunday school teachers. And what are you doing with the opportunity that's being given to you? You know, do you think David just wasted his time out there daydreaming while he was shepherding the flock? No, I don't think so. You know, part of the time maybe he's spending playing the harp, obviously keeping track of the responsibility that it taught him, time meditating on the Word of God, spending time with God. He didn't foil the preparation that God had for him. You know, tonight, do you want a life of victory? Well, young person, if you're going to have a life of victory in the future, you better make sure that right now you're preparing yourself so that you can have that life of victory. You know, don't allow sin to creep into your life. Victory right now. You know, as we approach a new year, I mean, there's so much that could happen. But God doesn't want us to sit back and to be afraid when we hear the enemy. He wants us to stand up and defend not our name, but His name. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would give each one of us, Lord, victory in our lives. Lord, help us not to, Lord, we all want to just jump into the victory zone. And Lord, we'd like to bypass the preparation. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to commit ourselves to the plan that you have to see that victory accomplished. Lord, give us that purpose tonight. Lord, that your name would be uplifted, that your name would be known. Lord, that what we do would give an accurate representation of who you are. Lord, may we draw from the power of your almighty name. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, you know, are you a young person tonight and you say, you know, John, I have been foiling some of the opportunity. I have been wasting some of the opportunity I've been given to prepare my life to serve God. And you say, you know what? The Lord spoke to my heart about an area of preparation that I have been wasting. You know, you've got a lot of time. Use it to prepare yourself to serve God. And if you're a young person now, you say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord has spoken to my heart about an area of preparation that I have been wasting, and I want to get back to preparing to serve God. Is there anyone like that tonight? Any young person? All right. Anybody else tonight? I wonder tonight, you know, maybe you're a believer and maybe your purpose. Maybe you've really lacked that purpose. Maybe the fear has come because you've lost your purpose. You've really lost sight of how great God's name is. And you say, you know what, tonight the Lord has just encouraged me to really renew my purpose, to see His name uplifted, and to see Him glorified in my life. Is there anyone like that tonight? The Lord has worked in your life in that area. You know, maybe tonight you've been in and you need a plan. You know, maybe there's some verses you need to memorize. You need to get in God's Word. You need to get the specific verses. Might take a little time. It might take a little bit of energy. But do you want the victory? Are you going to go to the brook and, you know, choose jagged stones? Or are you going to choose the smooth stones that God can use to conquer that enemy
tonight, maybe there's some Bible verses that you need to memorize. Maybe tonight it's, you say, you know what? I've been cowering in fear. Maybe tonight you need to draw upon God's power. Maybe tonight your need is salvation. Hope you allow the Lord to do that work. Lord, may you just have your will accomplished. Lord, strengthen us. Lord, I know how far. Lord, I have fallen short in this. And Lord, I just pray for your power. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.